Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Working around the gym. He's got 32 points, but just 1 of 7 three-point lane. Drive and kick. Anthony Davis, 3. Right in front of the Denver bench. Back-to-back triples by AD.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
When it happened, I just felt it. I knew I pulled it. It made no sense to be out there for the last few minutes of the game and risk, you know, trying to play through it and making it worse. But I walked off the court just fine. I mean, now I know what I need to do for the next week and, you know, try to have myself ready for when we go. You know, almost having perfect timing.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I'm really sorry about the choices that were made by my team, by the organization, and by me. I've learned from this, and I hope to regain the trust of baseball fans.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in on this Thursday.
We are jamming out today, man.
Yes, we are.
Jamming out, playing the air guitar, rocking some drums, tipping pitches to the Astros. Let's go. It's going to be a good show.
I tipped my cap to that press conference.
That was the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Oh, it's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. We'll get into that today. That's obviously a big part of the show. Just cheating in sports, people being cool with cheating because it's their team, so let's back it.
Yeah,
why
not?
The Houston media. I'm curious about this. We have a guest of the ticker. His name's Brandon Scott. He works for our sister station down in Houston, 610. And I text Stevie, come on. He said, absolutely, hit me up. I really want to know the thought here. And I'm not going to get him on to be contentious because I don't like doing that. I don't like to argue. I don't want to set people up to argue with him to go viral or whatever, but I really want to know if he is one of many Houston media members that I've seen that seem to just be cool with this. And then like now they're playing the whole us against the world thing.
Yeah. They're playing the victim card at this point.
They're totally pandering. Yeah. It's the definition of pandering, seeing some of the people and what they're tweeting. And I want to know what his sentiment is on this whole thing. Cause the press conference for everybody outside of Houston was the biggest joke we saw today. So we'll get to that. Before we do, and before we talk about Dame being injured.
Yeah, that wasn't a good night last night. Yikes, what a rough way to end the first half, man.
Did anybody else watch him like jog off and think, can we just wave it now? Like, we have 29, 30 games left. You're 4 back. Yes, you could still do this. But what is it going to cost us?
Yeah.
We're putting more minutes on Dame. Asking more of Dame, and for what? To get swept as the 8 seed?
Just to get into the playoffs so they can say they made it another year. Like, just tone back the competitiveness for a few weeks, please.
Hello, pride? Is that not something to fight for here, fellas?
Dame's been playing with pride. It's been great.
He's the only one playing with pride.
2 max contracts, 1 max player.
Yeah, that's a whole nother can of worms there, Bob.
Sure is. Before we get to that, this doesn't have to be an entire segment's worth of conversation, but 2 things struck me today. 1, this is all stuff I did before I got in the station. The first one was, I know everybody has a point where they've hit an age where when they enjoy doing something you would have made fun of yourself for at 15, you're old. Mine is cleaning my car. I get so much joy.
Just getting it all cleaned up.
Because I got two kids, so I've got crumbs everywhere. Yeah. I get leftover toys. I'll get clothes left in my car. I'll get trash left in my car.
French fries underneath the seats.
Right, there's French fries.
The French fries are for me, though.
Yeah, that's my bad. I'm a little sloppy French fry eater. My apologies.
But I went to a car wash and, you know, ran that bad boy in. I don't really like to detail the car in the winter, but I'll get it washed. And then I went to the vacuum station and I'm cleaning out the trunk. I'm vacuuming the crumbs and I look at it and I just was like, I just felt calm.
You just feel good.
And I know 15, 14, 13 year old me would have made fun of me for liking that. So like, what is your old person thing
that, is so true.
That you've reached in your life and you're
that
like,
is so true.
I'd have never thought I liked this, but it brings me immense joy to do blank.
Mine is honestly going to bed early and waking up on the weekend not hungover. Like those, when I have
going to bed early.
Is that a chore?
It is, dude. It's a chore, man. It's not always a given that that's going to happen in the day-to-day life. You don't know where the wind's going to blow you as the afternoon, you know, advances.
Right.
And like last night, for example, I was just exhausted yesterday. I had a hard workout in the morning. I got home. It was one of those nights. It's like 8 o'clock and I'm like dozing off on the couch. Like, Jesus, how old am I? And I ended up going to bed at like 9:30. I woke up today at like 6:15. It felt fantastic.
Refreshed.
Man. I was refreshed. Good night's sleep. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Went to the gym and I wasn't hungover. It was a perfect day.
You got a full 8 hours.
I got a full 8 hours in, man.
Hey, I look, you know me. I usually sleep on average. I've been tracking this Fitbit. And my average sleep time is 5.5 to 6 hours. And that's not great. But I'm with you because I know now, as older I'm getting, if I get 8 hours in, it does make a difference.
It makes a huge difference.
My body's just like, thank you for actually resting and recharging.
Yeah, somebody said, nah, man, I've kept my car clean since my 20s. 34 now, you're not old, Sprague. That isn't it. And that there is some sentiment to that.
33, okay? I'm not 34 yet.
That there is some sentiment to that, though, is that because I remember when I first started driving, that was a big deal for me. You go through the phases, like you want to have a clean car and you want to make sure it's all nice. You wash it all the time. You go through phases, and then you go through periods where you don't care. Obviously different with kids.
As I say, my car was usually almost always clean, but it wasn't something I didn't think I cared about. It was just like, oh, I take my stuff into the house. I don't leave it all over the car. Or, oh, every 4 months, I'll take my car to a car wash. Mm-hmm. When you get kids and they start vandalizing your vehicle with crumbs.
What do you call vandalizing?
Oh, I call vandalism because I've told them several times to stop.
Yeah, clean your damn mess up. Pull your weight around here.
In fact, I remember the last time I cleaned it, we specifically had a conversation where there was a strict no food in the car anymore. And then I'm cleaning out and there's blueberry muffin crumbs everywhere. And I'm like, sweet. Didn't follow the rules.
Somebody said, watching my detective shows. That's such an old person thing to do.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You go home and watch CSI at night.
Joe, you're 24. Do you have any yet?
I'm definitely 28, but close.
Sure. Every year that you've worked here, you've said I'm 28.
No. Every year I've worked here, you said I'm like 23, 22. It seems to go lower the longer I work here.
Yeah, it does. You get younger.
You're Benjamin
like
Button.
You're the Benjamin Button of the station.
I think I might have figured this out yesterday, what that task or chore is. Pressure washing.
Yes. You know, I saw that post that you had.
Had an absolute blast yesterday. I was about to text the kid's mom and be like, can you pick him up from school? I think I'm going to be a couple more hours over here.
Yes.
Like, that was awesome. I had such a great time. My back patio was a green, disgusting mess.
And it had that, like, moss, slimy goo.
Yeah, it was bad. And I think I even said a couple weeks ago to you guys, because you're like, oh, I can't wait till summer. And I was like, I'm not. I can't wait. Because I was dreading having to cut the lawn, deal with that patio. The pressure washer took care of that in less than an hour.
And how did you feel when you were done?
Dude, I was so stoked that I went and mowed the lawn right after that. And now my backyard is halfway there. I got to do a little bit more landscape. And that's maybe the one thing is the gardening. I've come to like that over the last few years.
Dr. Green Thumb.
Yes, most definitely. My dad loves that, so I think it's rubbed off on me a little bit there. So, but yeah, and then I moved to the driveway yesterday.
Started taking
the moss out there.
There you go.
So much that the landlord next door was like, hey, you do pressure washing? You work
Dude,
here?
Makes you live here?
Side gig, let's
and
go.
And I was like, no, I'm just doing it on my off time. He's like, oh, because I got some moss over here.
So yeah, take 50 off my rent. You got it.
I was like, yeah, as long as I can use your water. And exactly.
Pay
feed me a little bit, then we're
that's
good.
That's a really good one, Joe. I love
that. Like, is a good one.
I get to that point where we don't do a lot in the backyard in the winter, but you get to that point once you're finally ready to turn the corner into spring and you're out on the patio and stuff more. That first pressure wash of the spring, when you got like rain and just mud, just you can just, it's just a lot of guck on there.
Yep.
And you spray that thing down, and you get it nice and shiny cement. Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah, yep. I'm not done either. I still have the pressure washer, and I will finish that driveway in the next few days. Like, I might get my son out there getting some work in for me.
Teach him young,
dude. It was fun.
Take a lot of pride in it.
This is the oldest segment we've ever done, man.
All right, I got an even older question for you. After I cleaned the car, I had to go get gas. I went to a Fred Meyer gas station because it was the closest one to me. What do you think the percentage of gas caps on the passenger side of cars is? Because I started noticing this today. Mine has always been on the driver's side. No matter what car I drive, it always seems to be on my side. I get to this gas station and there is a stupid line. I think I waited 12 minutes to get gas. And I know that's only 12 minutes, but, you know, usually you walk it or you drive in, you just pull up. Everybody's gas cap was on the driver's side. And the gas can, the pumps on the opposite, because Fred Meyer's was telling people they didn't want to extend their hoses.
Sure.
Those sides were empty. So then as I drove in, I was in Beaverton today, so I'm driving in on 26. I started looking at every car as they were going by.
To see which side it was on.
I think I honestly got to an 80-20 split of most gas caps were on the driver's side.
Yeah, I would guess that's the vast majority.
So why aren't we addressing that? Gas stations are like equal when cars aren't.
That throws me off so much. Whenever you rent a car and you're used to having it on one side and then you're driving around, you're like, wait a minute, which side do I need to pull in here? The other thing that blew me away when I bought my new truck is that I was so used to having to flip the button.
Yeah.
Where you open up your gas. And so I remember the first time I filled my truck up after I bought it, I was like fumbling around looking at my feet like, I'm sorry, man, I don't know where the thing is. I can't find the button. And he's like, don't worry, man. We open it. Don't worry about it. I'm like, oh, hey, nice. All right. I don't have to do anything here. I just pull up to the gas station.
I just feel like it's a missed opportunity by gas stations because I really don't think the percentage is that high that has it on the opposite side of the driver.
Yeah, it has to do with the car design, right? Just what's the easier side to put it on?
I think it's the brand.
Okay, could be a brand thing.
Yeah, I was seeing Toyotas drive by, and I go, driver's side. Honda, driver's side. And then a Nissan drove past, and I said, oh, passenger side for the Nissan.
Yeah, we got the text line coming in, Volvo, Subaru, Jeep, passenger side.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Volvo, you're better than that.
Right, right.
Nobody trusts a Volvo.
Yeah, maybe I'm off. Maybe it's a 50-50 split. I just today was like, man, nobody was going to the empty passenger side. Well, everybody had to be on the driver's side.
Can you not flip the car around?
Well, no, the way they, because it's the Fred Meyer's off
aggressive
of,
pull is just pulling in one direction and telling them to flip the hose around.
It's off TV Highway in basically Hillsboro. And so they have the way that it's set up, you can't back up and then put it that way. You have to kind of go forward.
Yeah, you screw up everything
if
you do
that.
Yeah,
you screw up the flow of things.
See, that's a faulty design, though, on their part.
I agree with that.
100% faulty. You got to make sure you can get at it from both sides.
Their parking lot wasn't big enough.
Yeah.
They needed a bigger space for that.
Those are crazy, man. When you go, like, on the weekend to a Fred Meyer gas station or, like, the Costco gas area, man, and you
just
get
just don't.
Just, like, thousands of cars.
Don't
and
do
it's
it.
Like, is it really worth it with your points to wait for an hour for gas?
Friday nights, also, I've noticed. That's
a big one.
Oh, yeah.
People There's go a party at the Costco.
God, we're old. All right. We got a good show today. We're going to get to Damian Lillard here in a second. He got injured last night. The Houston Astros have a press conference today that goes awry. We'll talk with Brandon Scott of 610 Sports Radio in Houston on the Daily Ticker, get his thoughts on what he heard. We got the debut of Joe's Plums today.
We got the plums are back officially.
It's plum season here on the Fan on Dirt and Sprague. So Joe will debut it today at 2:15. We got a lot to get to. We're going to start with Damian Lillard. He exits the Memphis game. They lose. They just got worked last night defensively. And Damian Lillard jogs off with a groin injury. What the hell is going on? We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague with you on this Thursday on 1080 The Fan.
Boom, 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 boom. Shoot your head down.
This is Dirt and Sprague, gone 1080, The Fan.
Good point by a listener here. I guess I don't really think about these kinds of things, but there's probably some truth to this. Euro car passenger side, gas cap, U.S. and most Japanese on the driver's side.
That makes sense. You're driving on the other side of the road.
Touche.
That'd throw me off. I've still never done that. It'd be really weird.
One from the 360 says you could solve your gas lines by pumping your own gas like people in Vancouver. Hey, I'm A-okay if they want to have people pump gas, but I have no problem pumping my own. Every time I go to Vancouver to visit my mom, I usually end up getting it there.
It's not that big of a deal.
It's super quick. It really is.
You just get out, you pump, and then you pay.
You just put it in the hole, you click the thing, and...
Oh, yeah, that's all you do, huh?
That's all you do. Hey, the Blazers lost again.
That they did, Bob. I lost some money on that game last night. I thought they were going to bounce back. I thought Dame was going to go off. Mm-hmm. It was going to be one of those Lillard takeover performances, and that did not happen.
Well, he was on track to have a great game. I mean, he went into the fourth quarter. He had 20 points and 10 assists. Mm-hmm. Putting up good numbers, and then ultimately came back in. They couldn't stop anything. Brandon Clark was rolling all night to the hoop, getting easy dunks. I think they had let me look at the stats, but I think it was 76 points in the paint.
That sounds about right. It felt like everything they scored came in the paint.
It was an easy dunk.
Can I also say something, too? Did you know this? Newsflash?
You're jealous of the Grizzlies court because it looks freaking awesome with that big grizzly in the middle?
That is true.
And the unis are sick?
That is also true, but that's not what I was going to say. Did you know, Brandon Sprague? Grizzlies, fun little team to watch.
Yes, I did.
Okay. Learned that last night.
Hey, there you go.
Welcome to the Grizzlies basketball, huh?
Hey, better late than never.
Grit and grind. I'm on board, man.
See, that's the thing, though. It's really not.
No, it's not at all.
They try to adopt that still. Like the young players, Dylan Brooks, John Morant. You give them respect, I guess, for acknowledging it being a grit and grind city. But they play a fun, exciting style of basketball.
Man. They push the pace. Like everybody that can run. They didn't have a great shooting night last night, which then again highlights how impressive the win was. They shot 26% from three. Ja was 0-5. They were giving him open threes. Like they were backing off of him. It was like a Giannis defense, and still they put in 111 and they beat you by 7.
Yeah. So the Blazers lose yet again. Look, it's not so much the loss. They take another step back in the loss column there. And they go into the All-Star break having not played particularly great basketball. It's the fact that towards the end, middle of the fourth quarter-ish, Damian Lillard ran off after a foul was called because he had a groin injury. To everybody watching, I think we all thought he got hit in the...
Hit in the nuts. We've seen that happen. Yeah. Sure, yeah, sorry.
Testes, whatever you want to say.
We've seen that happen with a lot of Blazers lately, too. I felt like Whiteside went on a stretch for like a week where he got hit like 6 straight times. Melo had one of those. Like, it's been a very Blazer injury as of late, and then he walks to the locker room, and you get that little lump in your throat.
So he kind of jogs off gingerly. He's holding his groin area. Everybody's speculating. Then they announce it right away that they think it's a grade 1-2 groin strain. And it's great to have a week off for your All-Star weekend, but as one NBA reporter put out on Twitter last night, Steph Curry had a similar injury. He missed 11 games. If it's a grade 2, Steph Curry missed 11 games. Yeah. I think the week off is going to help that, but there's still a good chance that if Portland comes back in the second half, they might be without Dame for a few games, although in the post game, he's pretty adamant that they're coming in the second half of the season, and watch out.
That's Dame. Of course, that's what he's going to say. I love his quotes basically saying it's on after the All-Star break. He's a leader. He wants to make the playoffs, and you love the intensity in which he plays with. The scary part is there was two things for me last night. One, of just realizing how much this can shake the trajectory of the second half of the year because there's no guarantee when he comes back. We all seem to think 8 days off, grade 1, that's not a big deal. He's going to be back when they start playing next week. I think their first game is against New Orleans at home. Not a guarantee, man. These things can linger. It's very easy to re-aggravate. Changes the whole landscape of the second half of the season. And then there was also the thought that popped into my head. I just went to a negative, dark place of like, man, that's how quickly you can just on one random play, there was no contact. It was him going up for a layup, and all of a sudden he's grabbing his groin. You're thinking, huh, did he get kneed somewhere? Then they show the replay. You realize there's no contact, and you just panic a little bit because that changes everything about this franchise. He is the only thing this year that has kept them afloat. I know Melo's had his moments. Ariza has been a nice addition. Hassan Whiteside has had, I guess, a little more impact later in the season than he has in earlier in the season. Trent's had his moments. Dame is the reason, right? Like, Dame is the team. He is the sole reason that they're even in a conversation to make a playoff spot. And I think, again, in the last two nights, we've learned he went for 20-10 last night, which is what CJ averages on the year points-wise, and 10 assists. That's a great night distributing.
Well, yeah.
And they didn't stand a chance. They were never in that game. They were down by 10 basically throughout. When he doesn't go for 40 or 50, it's very difficult for them to win. And so it just showed you how quickly it can all get taken away.
Yeah, like you can't take it out because I think we all, whether you're pro, go be the 7-8 seed and you try to pull an upset, or whether you're in this tank conversation that always exists with Portland, it doesn't matter to me. We all met in the middle on Dame. When he went on that streak, we all were like, this
without
is awesome, right? But you do kind of do that second thought of, God, if he wouldn't have averaged 45 points and 10 assists.
Oh, they lose at least two or three of those games, and they're like seven or eight games out of the eight seed.
Yeah, they might be 10 games out of the eight seed at this point had he not just gone berserk and done what he needed to do to keep his team in it. Yeah. This is going to continue to mount too. And I think last night was very frustrating for Blazer fan, not only because they lost the game and Damian Lillard got hurt. Jason Quick wrote a good piece. Mm-hmm. This is not a shot at a Quick piece. He wrote a great one at The Athletic. CJ stepping in and saying, I play better in the second half, and I'm going to step up the leadership too. We're going to carry the. I really respect his game, and I love that he loves being in Portland. Can we have the conversation yet? Is this a completely off-topic thing for half the Blazer fans, or are we going to address the fact that we have two max contracts and only one max player?
And that's not an easy way to build a title-contending team.
Like, I know Game 7 was great. He had some good performances in sure. that Denver series. Nobody doubts what he adds offensively. But they are in a position as a franchise where I think they could get by without 20 points and make it up in different facets.
Without a doubt.
They need help defensively in a brutal way. They need somebody to move the ball. He doesn't do either of those things. He gives you three assists. He's dominantly, predominantly a ball-stopping guard. And if he doesn't go give you 25 or 20, do you even feel like you watched him play?
Well, and also, it's not even just a 20-point thing. It also, it feels like a hollow 20 points where it's not an efficient and effective 20 points. It takes a lot of shots and a lot of ball handling to get there. It's not one of those Klay Thompson performances where it's catch and shoot, catch and shoot, catch and shoot. It's give the ball to me, let's halt the rest of the offense and all the flow on the court, and I'll still go out and get 21 points, but it's not going to translate to much in terms of wins and losses. Man, you know my thoughts on this. I've been arguing this for a long time, and you know, I texted some buddies last night. When was the last time it felt like when you watched CJ McCollum, he was a player that was worth north of $30 million a year?
Well, it's going to get to like 34, right? 37, I think.
The general consensus was Game 7.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, just, right. he hasn't had one of those moments. And the Quick piece was great because it highlighted Dame and just where he's at, his disappointment of not going to the All-Star break. The other looming thing in the second half of the year, which we haven't even really broached yet, and that's that Nurk hasn't returned to practice since the last injury that Quick reported when he was on The Fan, when he had the calf injury. He hasn't returned to practice yet. So
don't worry. Nurk's coming back. We're going to win the championship.
That's a whole nother thing. But the CJ quotes honestly really bothered me, man. It's one thing when the team's rolling a little bit and you're in the playoff mix and you like to pick it up as the year goes on, that's fine. This year has been different. This year has been a season in which you don't have three of your starters. Nurk was down. We knew he was going to be down. Collins goes down early in the year. Then Rodney Hood goes down. It's been just one thing after another. And usually what you ask of your star players in those situations is you got to pick up the slack. Like when we have a free-flowing offense and you got a bunch of different guys contributing, everybody's healthy, if you're going out and getting 21, 4, and 3 a night, mm-hmm. that's fine because that's all they're basically asking from you. But now that you're a max player and all the other guys are hurt around you, look what Dame has done in the first half of this year. He's literally put the team on his back through stretches of the season just to keep them alive. And then you get CJ coming out and saying, oh, I'm always better after the All-Star break. I always shoot a higher percentage after the All-Star break. I'm going to go get it after the All-Star break. It's like, bro, what could have used you in the last 20, 30 games,
that's
man? 30,
that's only 30 games. You know, that's where I'm coming from. I don't want to have the whole trade thing. I'm not trying to go there with the conversation. It's more just a frustration that I'm aiming at right now. And again, while you can acknowledge he's had some great moments and helped Portland tremendously in big spots, I think it continues to be out there of that. I got kind of pissed reading that.
Hey, I shoot 42% from three after the All-Star break.
What
about the last 15 games?
I've seen him a couple times have these moments. He did it in the last game against New Orleans, and then he did it in, he's been doing it, and I thought he did it last night. He's a 1-2-3 Cancun guy. When the season's over or a series is done, it's kind of just a, yeah. Whereas like Dame, you just never doubt that Dame's going to just bring it.
Never.
Even if he's down 3-0.
Never doubt it.
He's going to try to bring it, right? There's that confidence in him. And David Griffin said something a few years ago when he was the GM of the Cavs. And it's sticking with me. Basically, he said, nobody on my roster is untouchable. Right? Even with LeBron on his roster. And we know LeBron is untouchable, especially in that moment. The fact that a GM is going out and willing to say that, whereas like here in Portland, Zach Collins, untouchable. Anthony Simons, untouchable. CJ McCollum, untouchable. what do these have in common? Draft, 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 trade, and got lucky and hit big with Nurk. And so that's the fascinating part, is watching how it's going to play out come second half. If Dame's injury lingers, where they're at, it's great to say that you're going to bring it your last 30 games. This was literally your year to go average 26.5 points, 5 assists, 7 rebounds, mm-hmm. bring a better effort defensively, and be an all-star for the first time in your career.
Could have done it.
And he couldn't do it. And guess what? Next year, he's not making an all-star team, in my opinion.
Because Steph and Clay are going to be back.
Steph and Clay are coming back, and they're going to be pretty damn good.
I would vote that.
This was the year to do it and not wait till the all-star break to announce that you're really good in the second half. As you mentioned, you're already down with injuries. Your roster's up against it. This was your year to not quite do what Dame did because it was historic, but to come as close as you possibly could and have career highs in almost every category. And he hadn't done it.
Hey, welcome to the start of the year, CJ. You're only 4 games out of the 8 seed. Memphis doesn't look like they're going anywhere because they just drilled you last night.
All-star weekends can be really weird for teams when you have a full week off, so we'll see what happens. I'm still not going to give up that they'll be the 8 seed, especially if Dame thinks he can get back quick. But I just hated watching him limp off. That just sucked.
And then, man, you
lose, and you had the CJ dynamic to it, and not knowing what's going on with Nurkic. Yeah. It's just tough. All right, coming up next, the Houston Astros had a press conference that everybody kind of laughed at. So we'll talk with Brandon Scott of 610 Sports Radio in Houston. We'll get his thoughts on what's going down in Houston with the Astros and the sign-stealing thing. We'll do it next on the Daily Ticker, but first, Joe with a sports update.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Brandon Scott works at Sports Radio 610 in Houston. The Astros had their press conference today with the owner and a few players. It did not go over well to everybody outside of Houston, so I'm kind of curious and bringing on Brandon now. So, Brandon, thanks for joining us here in Portland, man. I kind of want to just...
Oh, I'm glad to be here, man.
Absolutely. I want to start with just... It seems like the whole country is reacting of, this is a joke of a press conference, but I've also seen people in Houston kind of defending it and taking the us against the world mentality. Where do you fall in on this?
Okay, so in full disclosure, man, I grew up an Astros fan. I was born and raised in Houston. I'm 30 years old, so I've been rooting for the team my entire life.
Yeah.
But this is embarrassing. I mean, this is embarrassing. I do not share the same position as the Astros fan, us against them, and what about everybody else? And well, we can talk about everybody else when the everybody else discussion comes, but I mean, we can have this discussion too, and this is about the Astros. That's the team that got caught. That's the team whose manager got fired its general manager. This is the team that won the World Series in 2017. And so you can't work around that, and you can't avoid the facts of this. So the way you describe it just now is 100% accurate. It's a very much a us against the world mentality for Houstonians and Astros fans. And across the country, they're villains. One of our other hosts actually just posted a video, kind of just excited about the fact that there's a hero and a villain, and that the Astros are heroes locally but villains nationally. And he thinks it's a cool marketing thing for baseball that, you know, in a twisted, kind of sick way, this is kind of a cool thing to pay attention to, because everybody's eyes are open now. People are paying a little bit more attention to baseball than they normally would.
Yeah, I think there is some validity to that, actually. We haven't had a villain at this level probably since the Yankees were dominating everybody in, you know, the late 90s. Right. And on that, too, you look at Houston fans and the way they've reacted to it. I'm curious how much, if at all, you think today changed. Because it's one thing when nobody's talking and it's just headlines and guys are getting fired, but then you're bringing in a new manager. It's all kind of out of sight, out of mind. And then it was front and center in the sports world today. They kind of went out there and vomited all over themselves. Has that changed the mindset of Houston fans at all, or are they still steadfast?
Not from what I can tell, just from gauging the response on social media. If anything, honestly, they would rather us stop talking about it and move on to baseball. We had several people asking if nobody wanted to talk about the three-hitter minimum. And I think it was the general manager, James Click, the guy who just got hired. He mentioned that. And fans feel that way as well. They do not want to keep talking about this. And I think that deep down there is some shame and some embarrassment that's tied to this that they perhaps do not want to acknowledge. maybe me being in media, I'm more prone to this. And Jefferson doesn't want to be legitimate at the 2017 World Series. The Astros did this thing where they sold and gave away World Series rings the following season to fans. Mm-hmm. And that was like a thing. I thought it was pretty corny myself. But that was like a thing here. And I'm pretty sure those people don't want to put those up or stop wearing them or pretend like that didn't happen. And so that's what you're dealing with. There's a bit of denial, but I don't get the sense that there's been a change. I will say this, though. The Astros fans are going to have to deal with this. This conversation is not going away. There are people who are offended by it. There are careers that may have been affected by it. Obviously, people have lost their jobs. AJ Hinch lost his job. He seems to have possibly been the least culpable member of the team when it comes to all of this. And so this isn't going anywhere. And honestly, the Astros fans can probably just – they'd be better to just get used to it.
Yeah. Brandon Scott is our guest here, Sports Radio 610 in Houston. As he describes, he's a lifelong Houston Astros fan, but he did not like what he saw today. You know, with the Astros moving forward now and having this pressure, I'm sure they're going to try to avoid the questions that are going to be asked because – everybody wants to get their question out that weren't at the press conference today. If Major League Baseball were to look into maybe disciplining players, because right now it doesn't feel like they're going to do that, is there any penalty that you would be against? I mean, you said it's your favorite team, right? So it's sometimes tough to take that fandom emotion away, but you seem like you're doing it pretty well. Are you totally okay if Major League Baseball decides on any kind of punishment for players, or is there a certain line for you?
Quite honestly, I think that they should have done something. And I imagine it's the union and the power of the players' union that allowed them to skirt free on this. But I don't think it would be out of the question for a postseason ban. I think that would actually be fair for this team. Like, if they could not compete. Like, if AJ Hinch doesn't have a job, then why does Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman get to compete for a World Series and then add on to their legacy and make up for their legacies while others aren't getting that same opportunity when everybody was involved? Carlos Correa made a really good point today about how this was a team thing, and that's why they hadn't come out, so many of them hadn't come out individually yet. They wanted to powwow as a team, I guess. But along those same lines, this being a team infraction, they should suffer as a team. And right now it's individuals who are suffering, and I don't think that is fair at all, especially if everyone is willing to acknowledge that this was not an individual thing. You can point at Carlos Beltran, you can point at Alex Cora, you can even point the finger at Jeff Luhnow in the front office, but I just named three people in a whole department, you know, and that's to say nothing of the players who were involved in this. So for me, I think it was Hank Aaron last week who said that everybody who was involved should be like banned for life. I wouldn't go that far. That's a little bit of a stretch, but the idea of a postseason ban and really having the Astros be affected by this and to really feel this beyond draft picks and $5 million as a drop in the bucket to a billionaire, I think they should really hit them where it hurts. And clearly that would do it, because everybody here wants to talk about baseball and wants to do baseball. That's what everybody cares about. That's a common thread. And I think that if there was some accountability there, that would go a long way.
On a baseball note, I'll ask you a baseball question. How do you think they responded to it this year? I mean, it's different when you're going from being, I mean, they were kind of a lovable story in Major League Baseball a couple of years ago. The SI cover, you know, Astros, your future champs, they pull it off. It was an incredible run to tank and then to go win a title. And now the whole perception around them has changed. They got the target on their back. Gerrit Cole's gone. How do you think, just from a baseball standpoint, they handled it this year?
You know, it's easy to forget how talented the team is, and it's also easy to question how talented the team is if so much of it is cloaked in cheating and lies and things of that nature. You start to question and wonder, well, how good are these guys really? But we all know. I mean, you can look at, like, Carlos Correa is a really good baseball player. Alex Bregman is a really good baseball player. Jose Altuve is a really, really good baseball player, and they still have Justin Verlander at the top of the rotation, despite losing Gerrit Cole. They still traded for Zach Greinke last season, and that's a pretty good second starter. So, I mean, the Astros are still positioned to be the top team in the American League West at the very least, and they'll compete with the Yankees and whoever else is out there that's going to be vying for the AL pennant. I think that they'll respond in kind. I mean, I think their backs are against the wall. They're on the defensive. And I think they do want to show and prove to people that they are better than what they showed in 2017 and what they've been showing in this offseason, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, there we go. Great stuff from Brandon Scott of 610 Sports Radio in Houston at the presser today. We have the audio to play on the show. But, Brandon, we loved having you on, my man. Thank you for hopping on with us such late notice. And we'll catch up with you down the road.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. There we go. Brandon Scott of 610 Sports Radio in Houston. Lifelong Astros fan, grew up in the area, and he's disgusted by what he saw today.
I don't know how you aren't, man. It's tough. It's one thing to try and look past it and act like it's not a big deal when it's just in the headlines and you're not getting to hear from them up close. But we found out they were going to be doing a press conference today. They had a team meeting earlier this week. I think most of us probably imagine you come out, you admit some guilt, you show some remorse, you show some sorrow for what you did and for cheating the game of baseball, and you didn't really see that at all today. And even if you're an Astros fan, I mean, that it was really, really tough to watch.
Well, I want to get to that because Astro media and Astro fans, like, I'll give you one tweet right here from somebody I follow. And look, I'm going to keep following them because I like getting the lowdown from different cities. But this is a legit tweet from a media member in Houston who hosts a radio show. Buzzer boxes, walkie-talkies, military telescopes, peach cans, eye-in-the-sky light bulbs. All the various illegal sign-stealing methods used in Major League over the years. Keep in mind how you're being fed the idea that Astros scandal is worse since the Black Sox. This is the position they're taking in
Houston.
That's what
they're taking. Everybody's doing it.
To pander as much as they can to the Astros fans, collect followers, and have everybody listen to their content. I think it's a joke. It's disgusting. We're going to talk about it and hear from the players and the owner next on The Fan.
This is Dirt and Sprague, Gun 1080, The Fan.
All right, let's dive more into this Houston Astro press conference. Before we give our thoughts, I want to read a text and then hear the audio from the people at the presser today. This one from P1 Jeffrey says, so this is pretty personal for me. My great-grandfather was, Andre, I think it got broke up. First baseman, he's a first baseman of the 1919 White Sox. Sorry, the name thing kind of got broke up in the text. I believe that anybody caught cheating should be absolutely banned for life. It goes against the principles of the game. So there's a person that has a family member from the White Sox team, from the Sox team that got caught, and he's sitting here saying that you should be banned. Mm-hmm. Let's hear from everybody. So let's start with the owner, Jim, right? It's Jim Crane?
Yes.
Okay.
The owner of the Astros.
He had his statement talking about this whole ordeal.
Our GM and manager were not only suspended for a year, we went above and beyond and fired them. MLB also acknowledged that the players should not be punished for the failure of our leadership. The leaders enabled, condoned, and did not stop those actions that happened. I also agree that our players should not be punished for these actions. These are a great group of guys who did not receive proper guidance from their leaders.
Ah, grown-ups. Okay. Grown-ups didn't receive proper leadership.
Are we talking about a team of 12-year-olds here?
I'm just a stupid baseball player. Don't know anything.
What are you talking about?
Right. Come on.
Here's two players that were at it. Jose Altuve. This is the press conference. Carlos Correa did a post-press conference interview. So there were other players around, obviously, with spring training. But Altuve Bregman at the forefront. Here's Jose Altuve's statement.
I also will be brief. We had a great team meeting last night. And I want to say that the whole Astros organization and the team feel bad about what happened in 2017. We especially feel remorse for the impact in our fans and the game of baseball. And our team is determined to move forward, to play with intensity, and to bring back a championship to Houston in 2020. Thank you.
All right, here is Alex Bregman. He, by the way, very, very remorseful. He's also on the cover of the East Bay Magazine now, talking about how he works hard. Here's Alex Bregman.
I'm really sorry about the choices that were made by my team, by the organization, and by me. I've learned from this, and I hope to regain the trust of baseball fans. I would also like to thank the Astros fans for all of their support. We as a team are totally focused on moving forward to the 2020 season.
Of course you are.
Thank you.
Why are you talking at such a weird pace?
I would like to say I'm sorry. He was also doing a weird thing with his hands where he's putting his fingers together and like opening and spacing his fingers apart but touching the tips.
It was, it was a very Ricky Bobby moment.
Yes, I don't know what to do with my hands.
I don't know what to do with my hands right now during this interview.
So get this. This is a back and forth. There was a reporter in Houston, works for ESPN. You know, Crane came out, basically said he didn't view it as an advantage.
He said it didn't give him an advantage.
Did not help them, and that reporter called BS at the end. So get a load of this back and forth.
Jim, sign stealing is a distinct advantage for the hitter. So how is it that it doesn't affect competition? So then what are you guys apologizing for?
we're apologizing because we broke the rules.
But isn't sign stealing a distinct advantage for the hitter? So doesn't it automatically impact competition?
It could possibly do that. It could possibly not.
Okay, guys, we're going to wrap up. Thank you, Dusty. Thank you, Jim.
And that will be all for the questions today. Thank you very much.
Joe, did we get the last one you'd mentioned?
Yeah, so CBS Sports had this on their Twitter, but he says it didn't have an impact. And then literally 55 seconds later, he says, well, I didn't say it didn't have an impact. Here it goes.
You know, our opinion is, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game. You know,
You can't make this stuff up, man.
You know, Sprague,
you can't make this stuff up.
Add PR to the list of that job is easy.
That job's easy.
Totally add that.
Well, at least for that job.
The new staff, man, because they're gonna be hiring a whole new PR staff after this thing.
This might go down as the worst or absolutely in that category of one of the worst press conferences ever had by a team.
I mean, honestly, the only ones that stick out in my mind are like Rafael Palmeiro pointing his finger at Congress saying, I never took steroids, only to test positive for steroids like 4 months later.
Yeah.
But that was just blatant. Lying before we knew that he took steroids. It was just amazing. How many examples do we have to learn to come out, put your tail between your legs, admit that you cheated, look, we effed up, guys. Mm-hmm. Our bad. We wish that we could take it back. It was a huge mistake. It's a stain on the game of baseball. We sincerely apologize. Of course, it gave us an advantage. That's why we did it. And we promise to play with integrity going forward.
Yep.
Is it that difficult to do?
You sound like me with Nepper this morning, just going off. I'm like, how hard is this, really?
To come out and say it doesn't give you an advantage? Are you kidding me?
Knowing
what pitch is coming isn't an advantage?
Life-altering thought here. Life-altering thought. In my past, I probably would have understood certain individuals kind of lying their way through things, right? And there's always going to be examples of people who lie and get away with it.
Sure.
I'm at a point now where even if it's bad for you, just tell the truth, deal with whatever those consequences are. And for some people, they're pretty harsh consequences. You lose a job or you're suspended indefinitely. Sure. You lose a lot of money.
Sure.
But you are going to get penalized far worse if you don't just tell the truth. I tell my daughter, this is a philosophy in parenting I tell my daughter, and I'm sure a lot of other people do too.
Well, everybody learns that lesson eventually.
If you do something bad, just tell me the truth, because if you lie, it's going to be substantially worse.
It's going to get worse.
And the Houston Astros do not know what that means.
The example I use in that regard is always with steroid users, and I point to Andy Pettit. Andy Pettit is a respected guy.
Yes, he is.
When his name is brought up, nobody immediately jumps to what a cheating bastard that steroid user. You think, good left-handed pitcher for a long time for the Yankees. You know why? Because when he tested positive for steroids, he held a press conference immediately at the Yankee facility. He said, my bad, I cheated. I was trying to recover from an injury. I used some HGH. I used some steroids. I'm going to regret it every day the rest of my life. And he got out in front of it immediately, and everybody has since kind of forgotten about it.
Well, some people even toy with the notion of should he be a Hall of Famer now,
right? Because he's been forgiven to that point.
And the funny thing with Andy Pettit, I'm glad you brought that example up, because following through that, right, whether I was hosting a show or not, following in that time with the steroid era, he was connected to HGH, And everybody was just calling everything steroids, right? Steroids. Oh, you took steroids. Mm-hmm. HGH is different. It's a performance enhancer because it helps you recover quicker. But I actually think he brought it to the forefront because Clemens was in full denial mode. Despite him and Pettit having this routine where they did it together at each other's pool houses, he came out and was denying it. Whereas Andy Pettit came out and was like, I took HGH. I was injured. I wanted to get out there. I apologized profusely. And it turned from a, whoa, you're such a terrible human, to people going, you know, HGH is a different conversation because it is helping athletes recover versus steroids is making you bigger, maybe helping your bat speed, all of that.
Yep.
I would think Pettit actually helped things being honest than he did, as you mentioned, lying like everybody else or acting like they don't know English when they're actually pressed on it.
No hablo English.
No habla English, dude.
Easy, Andy. You're from like Texas, okay? Right. Nobody's buying that.
I think Palmeiro, Sosa, Clemens, everybody is, you know, I don't know English now, but.
Yeah, McGuire up on the stand. I want to talk about the future, not the past.
I don't want to dwell on it.
Just admit it. And another, look.
And by the way, that's another guy who basically came out and was like, I feel really bad about that.
As somebody
that, right?
who is a fan of a once notorious cheater in Barry Bonds, and I still am a fan of Barry Bonds, I'm never going to forget the memories that I had as a Giants fan watching him. Part of you hates the fact that he's never owned up to it. He's never acknowledged it. He like tried to get skinny and start riding bikes when he retired, so everybody would forget that he had the head the size of a volleyball. Like, dude, just come out, own up to it. I cheated. My bad. I'm still a great baseball player. Whatever. People are eventually going to move on. Another example of this.
I have a theory on that, by the way.
Okay, one other example on the lying and it getting worse, and then this is the prime one because everybody's talking about punishments again. We just talked about this last week. Pete Rose is the other prime example of, dude, if that guy comes out in 1989 and says, look, I gambled. I didn't gamble on the opposing team. I didn't throw games. I just trusted my team. I gambled on my team. I got a problem. I need to get help for it. My bad. I gambled. If he does that in 1989, we might not have this circus that goes on for 20 years. Instead, he lied about it for 15 of them.
Yeah, I'm sure he still faces grave consequences.
Without a doubt.
But he probably gets to the Bud Selig and then maybe Rob Manfred, and he's probably like absolved of it and welcomed back into baseball. Maybe not as a hero or anything, but of just finally celebrating maybe the best player in Major League Baseball history. But now it's like, well, Pete Rose is in bad health and he's fighting for to see himself in the Hall of Fame. On the Bonds thing, I totally see where you're coming from. I loved watching Barry Bonds. He wasn't on my favorite team, but I love watching him play. I actually, my theory is he will admit it.
You think he will eventually?
When he gets in. He admits it now, it's going to push him back on that ballot. He's gaining real traction. I think he might be a year or two away. I think when he gets in, eventually he will have like that.
I'm sure there'll be the tell-all book when he's like 70 years old.
Maybe it will be a book, but I think at some point he will. All right, we got a lot more on this. What are your feelings on the Houston Astros? Like, what should Major League Baseball do about this? Because no players have been punished for it. Just a joke of a press conference, or maybe you actually thought it was good and we should move on and this isn't that big a deal. We're going to kick off hour number two and talk about it. And don't forget, Mark Wazkowski, the new baseball coach for Oregon, he's going to join us at 1:30 today. Their season starts tomorrow, a tournament down in Tempe. So we'll get to that. Hour two straight ahead on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.